is to therefore set out the path forward. That is what I intend to do. I think, look, we made unnecessary mistakes, one of which was that we rightly, in my view, levelled with the public about the challenges that we face as a country, both on the finances and internationally. But what we didn't do is enough to convince them about the change that would impact them, how their lives would be better. The hope wasn't there enough in the first 2 years of this government. I'll be setting that out tomorrow and making very clear the values and convictions that drive me when I do so.
This is my video update on this Sunday afternoon, May the 10th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with Sir Keir Starmer and his brilliant plan to remain in power, even though Labour under his leadership got absolutely smashed in the elections last Thursday. Starmer's plan to stay in power and to beat back all of the criticism and all the people, including in his own party, who are demanding that he step down, is to bring in Gordon Brown. You remember Gordon Brown. I remember Gordon Brown. And to bring in Harriet Harman. Harriet Harman. What I've read about her is not many good things about Harriet Harman. So he's bringing in Gordon Brown as the special envoy for global finance. And he's bringing in Harriet Harman as advisor on women and girls. These are not even real positions. Envoy to global finance? What does that even mean? Oh boy, special advisor to women and girls. What exactly is she going to do as a special advisor to women and girls? What kind of positions are these? Envoy for global finance, Gordon Brown. Special envoy. He's not even a regular envoy, like Steve Witkoff's a regular envoy. Gordon Brown is a special envoy. We don't even know what Witkoff's an envoy for, right? He's just an envoy. He's just an envoy, Steve Witkoff. I guess you could say he's an envoy for Ukraine-Russia negotiations, an envoy for Gaza negotiations, and an envoy for Iran negotiations. Gordon Brown has a more polished, formal title. Envoy, special envoy. Sorry, excuse me, special envoy for global finance. Is that the best that you could come up with, Keir Starmer? Really? That's your strategy to stay in power? Gordon Brown and Harriet Harman? Keir Starmer is sunk. He is finito. Many people in Labour, in the Labour Party, are demanding that that Starmer step down. I believe on Monday they're going to call some sort of a vote or some sort of a motion for Starmer to leave. And it looks like the two leading candidates to replace Starmer are Wes Streeting and Angela Rayner. From bad to worse, from bad, which is Starmer, from awful, catastrophic, which is Starmer, to even more and awful and more catastrophic, which is Streeting or Angela Rayner. So this is Eleftherias Park in downtown Athens. Pretty cool place. If you're in Athens, definitely check it out. So we'll see on Monday, tomorrow, what the situation is with Sir Keir. Talk about not wanting to go away. The last guy at the party. Time to get out. The last guy at the club. It's closed. Leave, man. Get out. Go home. No, I don't want to go home. I still got Brexit to reverse. I still got money to give to the Green Goblin. I need to give the Green Goblin more money. I got to reverse Brexit. I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to step down. My God. Anyway, all right. So we have all the stuff going on with Starmer. Next week will be very interesting, following the news out of the UK. Let's take a look at Hungary, where Magyar was sworn in yesterday as the prime minister. The new prime minister for Hungary. It is official. Peter Magyar. And to celebrate the swearing in of his new government in front of the beautiful parliament building in Budapest, Magyar decided to raise the EU flag. Of course, that's what he did. Orbán refused to raise the EU flag over Hungary's parliament building. So it's been 16 years, I believe, since we've seen that EU flag flying over the Hungarian parliament building. And Magyar now has the EU presence all over the parliament building in Hungary. And they celebrated the event with a lot of dancing. The minister that's now become famous for dancing, I don't know the dude's name, but he decided to show his moves once again during the swearing in. Magyar's government is off to a good start. A real good start. Oh my God. This is not going to end well for Magyar and for Hungary. But I remember another leader that used to dance a whole lot. True, he was a comedian at the time, and he was dancing in high heels. But remember that guy? Anyway, that's the news out of Hungary. Keep in mind that Magyar's Tisza party has a supermajority, and they will be able to mess around with the Hungarian constitution. So a lot of bad things are going to be happening in Hungary over the next couple of years with Magyar and these guys in charge. So BlackRock Mertz, he is very upset with Fico of Slovakia. Very, very angry because Fico decided to go to Moscow to celebrate May 9th Victory Day, a holiday that I am certain BlackRock Mertz absolutely despises, May 9th Victory Day. So Mertz is saying that he is going to be speaking with Fico. He said that he deeply regretted Fico's trip. He also said that it did not reflect the EU's common view. Yeah, I agree with BlackRock Mertz there. Celebrating May 9th Victory Day does not reflect the EU's common view. Agreed, BlackRock Mertz. But he also mentioned that as Fico was in Moscow, Mertz said, "We are celebrating Europe Day here in Stockholm today, and this is something completely different." Yes, we are celebrating a made-up holiday here in Stockholm, Europe Day. So the direct quote from Mertz is, "We will talk with him about this day in Moscow today." That is what Mertz said. We've got tools, Fico. They're going to mess around with Slovakia's economy. They're going to mess around with Slovakia's funding. They're going to probably mess around with Slovakia's oil from the Druzhba. They're going to employ their tools to make it very difficult for Slovakia and for Fico. Just like they did to Orban in Hungary, which absolutely worked. Zakharova, she replied to Merz, threatening Fico and stating that he's very unhappy that Fico was in Moscow celebrating Victory Day. She said that there would be no Europe Day without the victory of the Soviet people. She said some more things, but I will not repeat what else Zakharova said. It was brutal. It was a brutal takedown from Zakharova. But her point is also very, very correct. There would be no made-up holiday called the Europe Day if there was no Victory Day. That is true. So Putin, he finished up all of the Victory Day events and decided to give a press conference to the media as he wrapped everything up. He had a meeting with Fico as well, and they talked about Slovakia's need for oil via the Druzhba from Russia. And Putin said that he's going to do whatever he can to make sure that Russia fulfills the contracts and the energy needs of Slovakia. Not sure what he can do. My understanding of the Druzhba is that it gets to a point, I believe, in Hungary or in Ukraine, where it kind of branches off. It branches off, I believe, in Ukraine. I'll find the map and put it up on the screen. But there's a point in the Druzhba pipeline where it branches off. One branch goes to Slovakia and the other, I believe, goes to Hungary, if I remember the route of the pipeline. So no doubt the Europeans and Le Gobelin Vert can mess with the branch that goes towards Slovakia. I'm sure it'll have some technical problems. It'll have some technical issues that will not be repaired by Le Gobelin Vert or by the European Union or by Hungary, for that matter. Anyway, I'll find the map and I'll put it up on the screen so we can see exactly how the globalist elite are going to put pressure on Fico. Back to Putin. Putin, he spoke to the media, and I made a list of some of the notable things that Putin said as he was answering questions from the press. I think the statement that is getting the most attention, drawing the most attention and discussion, is where Putin said that the Ukraine war is coming to an end. It is coming to a conclusion. That is what Putin said. He also talked about how the collective West, they were betting on Russia's collapse in the first few months of the conflict in Ukraine, and it didn't happen. But Putin said that the war is coming to an end. A lot of people are trying to figure out what exactly is Putin getting at. What does he mean with that statement? Are there negotiations that are taking place and are working towards some sort of an end to the war? Is Putin going to issue new terms? Keep in mind that we still have Istanbul Plus from 2024. Those are still Russia's terms. for ending the conflict? Is Putin going to issue new terms? Is the Russian military going to capture Donetsk by the end of 2026? And then Putin is going to say mission complete? Or is Putin just saying that the war is coming to an end just to kind of calm things down? In a way like Trump does with Iran, but Trump does it every day, where he says the war is over, the war is over, the war is coming close to an end. And he says this every day, every hour. Trump says this in order to mess around with the markets. Well, maybe Putin is saying this to calm things down in Russia or outside of Russia. He said this in the past. He's made statements like this in the past, where he has said he believes that we are close to some sort of a conclusion to the war in Ukraine. So this is not exactly a new statement from the Russian president, but a lot of people are wondering what exactly he meant by this. My take is that the Russian military is going to complete the capture of Donetsk. They're going to finish the fight in Slaviansk and Kramatorsk. That would mean that they would have captured all of Donbass, Lugansk, Donetsk. And then Putin's going to issue new terms to Ukraine, to U.S. President Trump. Or maybe he will just tell Trump to accept Istanbul Plus, June 2024. Maybe he'll issue those terms again to Trump and Ukraine. And then we'll see what happens. That'll probably take place at the end of 2026. That's my guess as to how this is going to unfold. First Slaviansk, Kramatorsk, Donetsk, and then once again talk about June 2024 or issue new terms to end the war. And then we'll see what happens. Putin also explained the scaled down Victory Day parade. He said that it was scaled down in order to allow the Russian military to focus on combat operations and to focus on defeating the enemy. So that was his explanation for the scaled down Victory Day. Let me find his quote. "We decided that we would definitely hold festive events, but without the demonstration of military equipment, not only due to security concerns, but above all, because the armed forces must focus their attention on the first defeat of the enemy, on the final defeat of the enemy, sorry. Sometimes it's difficult to read outdoors. Putin also talked about meeting with Le Goblin Vert, having a meeting with Zelensky. He said that Russia has not ruled it out, but Zelensky should travel to Moscow. That's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. But he did say that Russia is open to meeting with Zelensky as far as signing some sort of an agreement or having some sort of negotiations with the Green Goblin. Putin made it very clear that he would meet with Zelensky in a third country outside of Moscow. He would only meet with Zelensky outside of Moscow if it was to sign a final agreement to end the conflict. The 15 centuries old olive tree. So he'll meet with Zelensky in Moscow, if Zelensky wants to come to Moscow and just chit-chat. "Hey, Putin, I'm in Moscow. Can I come over with Podolyak?" But if they want to have any type of negotiations in another country, in a third country, then it would have to be for the signing of a final agreement to end the conflict. And when asked about a possible European mediator, taking part in whatever negotiations are taking place or will take place, or any type of agreements that take place in the future. Putin also said that Russia has not closed the door to the Europeans. He said that that Russia is open to talking to Europeans, but to send someone who is ready to talk to Russia. And he suggested Schroeder, the one-time chancellor and a good friend of the Russian president. That was Putin's suggestion for some sort of a European mediator. Schroeder. That's never going to happen. That will never, ever happen. Intermediary for dialogue. That's the words that he used. The Russian leader stressed that Moscow had never closed the door to negotiations with the EU or Ukraine and mentioned former German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder as the preferred intermediary for dialogue. Never going to happen. Hasn't Schroeder been depersoned in Germany? They went after Schroeder because he had a good relationship with Putin. And so the German globalist political elite actually targeted Schroeder for destruction, for depersoning, to deperson Schroeder. Yeah, they went after Schroeder. Never going to happen. Never, ever going to happen. But that's who Putin recommended. Anyone similar to Schroeder that the Europeans could send? Vizo. And we already know what Merz is saying about that. And once upon a time, Orban. But Orban is out of the picture now. So we know what the EU did to Orban. So there's no one. There is no one that can be sent to be an intermediary. Maybe little Napoleon? Nah, not little Napoleon. He can't cut it. He despises Putin. He despises Russia. He was asked about Iran as well, and Putin said that Russia had proposed to look after the uranium, Iran's uranium. And at one point in time, everyone was in agreement that Russia could take the uranium, but then they all changed their positions. They took a harder line, and they said no to Russia's proposal to take the uranium. And finally, we have the announcement that there's going to be a big energy deal between Russia and China. No details were given, but most likely he's talking about Power of Siberia 2, which passes through Mongolia. And we're talking about gas that was earmarked for Europe. Yeah, we're talking about gas that was meant to go to Europe. And now they're taking all of that and they're going to divert it to China. Gas, maybe oil, not sure, gas and oil. But everything's going to get diverted to China. Everything that was meant for Europe is now going away, and it's all going to go to China through Mongolia. So Mongolia becomes the big winner. Good job, Mongolia. You're going to get a ton of money in transit fees and the construction of the Power of Siberia 2, and you're going to have the Power of Siberia 3 as well. And everything is just going to feed into China. So that's going to be the announcement that Russia and China are going to make. And he also said that before Trump proposed the ceasefire and the 1,000-person prisoner swap, Russia had proposed to Ukraine a 500 prisoner swap, and Ukraine was not interested. So they weren't interested in Russia proposing a 500-person prisoner swap. Russia even handed them a list, handed Ukraine a list of the prisoners. Ukraine showed no interest. Then when Trump came along and talked about a 1,000-person prisoner swap, then Ukraine agreed to everything that Trump said. So he also mentioned that as well. So that was the presser. Putin saying that he hopes to restore ties with the West in the future. The Russian president expressed confidence that Russia would restore relations with many Western countries in the future, even as he blamed Western politicians for triggering the Ukraine conflict. Yeah, he blamed the West for triggering everything and trying to destroy Russia in the opening months of the conflict. But he did say that he is ready to restore relations with the West. He's confident that Russia would restore relations with the West. Which way should I go? Which way should I go? Let's go down. Let's go up. Let's cross over and walk up the hill in Kolonaki. I was just over there, but let's do it. Evangelismos. This is the area that I am in right now. So look, restoring relations with Europe, with the EU, or restoring relations with some countries in Europe, it's not going to happen. Not with the current state of things. I don't know why Putin still believes that this is possible. Maybe this ties into his statement about the war coming to an end. Maybe he's still hopeful that the West will agree to the June 2024 terms, which they're not. And then he can begin to restore the relationships with the Europeans. Not going to happen. Can't happen. It's impossible. Because the EU has morphed into a geopolitical project. It's a wealth extraction mechanism. That's what the EU is, a wealth extraction mechanism run by the globalist elite. And what country sits right next to the European Union, which has a lot of wealth and a lot of resources? It's Russia. So as long as you have the EU, and the EU's main goal is to grab resources to further the interests of the empire, how can it restore relations with Russia? Can't happen. Either Russia is defeated and broken apart and plundered, or the EU is defeated and dissolves, and we return to something like what we had maybe 25 years ago, 30 years ago. Free movement, free trade, and that's about it. Or we just go back to sovereign member states. Then you can see some sort of rapprochement between Russia and various European countries. But in its current state, just can't happen. I mean, the Europeans are even talking about it. 2030, war with Russia. They're preparing for it. They're building up their militaries for it. They're manufacturing drones for it. They're openly stating what their goals are. So anyway, I will end everything there with Putin. Enough of that. Trump vomited all kinds of Iran war memes yesterday. A ton of Iran war memes from Trump, including the butterfly meme. Remember the post that he talked about, where he talked about the sinking of drones was like butterflies sinking to their grave. I wish I could enter, but I can't. Anyway. Oh well, we tried. Let's go further up. So he posted a photo of the butterflies, the drones dropping like butterflies. He didn't write that, by the way. He did not come up with the drones are dropping like butterflies to their graves line. He did not come up with that. But he likes it. I like it. I like that a lot. Drones, butterflies. I like it. I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it in a True Social post. He also posted about the Iranian ships, 159 Iranian ships, Obama, Biden, and Trump. Okay, all the ships. Wow, Iran had a massive navy under Obama and Biden, right? Massive. Wow. I don't remember Iran showing off their navy like this photo. And now you have all the ships at the bottom of the ocean. They've got the speedboats, though. What do they call them? The mosquito speedboats, which are causing all kinds of trouble for the U.S. Military. The mosquito speedboats, I think, is what they call them. Then he also posted an image, bye-bye drones, okay. And another image of himself with binoculars overlooking, I guess, the destruction of Iran's military. Okay, so that was Trump. Went crazy on True Social with the AI-generated photo memes. Let's do a clown world and we can wrap up today's video. We'll stick with Trump in this clown world and his golden statue. The golden statue in Florida. Everyone is talking about the golden statue in Florida. We even had pastors praying. We're saying prayers to the golden statue in Florida, or to the president of the United States via the golden statue in Florida, American School of Classic Studies. It's Sunday. Everything is closed. Let's walk. So let's get back to the golden statue. You know, if it was not gold, I don't think it would have caused all this controversy, to be quite honest. Obama had statues made of him. Even when he was president, there were statues of Obama, but they weren't gold. I think the gold is the big problem. That's the big problem. And one of the pastors that was praying to the statue or said a prayer at the unveiling of the statue, at the event to unveil the statue, he said that this is not some sort of golden calf or anything like that, or any worship of Trump. He said that we just have respect for the president of the United States. But you know, it's the gold. That's my thinking. You should not have made the statue gold. No gold, no controversy. gold controversy. So that's the Trump statue, clown world. And we also have the lady that was stopped by Latvian police because they thought her purse were the colors of the Russian flag. No, not even close, guys. Not even close. Some people say it's a Tommy Hilfiger flag. Tommy Hilfiger purse. It's not a Russian flag. Nope. They thought it was a Russian flag. That's not the sequence of the Russian colors. But they stopped her and they wanted her information because they thought she was some sort of a Putin spy. Latvia, what is happening to you? Anyway, that's the video, everybody. I forgot to say like, share, subscribe again. Like, share, subscribe, hit that hype button. I will see everyone tomorrow. Go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch, and check us out on Substack. Take care.